We've looked at this passage, I'd say, several times for sure. And I've always looked at it the same way until this week, and I saw something remarkable. Start in verse 21. Crumbs of grace. Crumbs of grace. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Jesus, unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But Christ answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Three words of crying for mercy. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. So that's what he's calling her. He's calling her a dog. And she said, Truth, Lord, I agree with you about myself. I am a dog. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Their master's table. There are several wonderful acknowledgments in this couple verses. Then Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, in time past, I've noted from this text the greatness of this lady's sin and the acknowledgement of her insufficiency, calling herself, agreeing with the Lord, a dog in the presence of Christ. Today, I want to look elsewhere, namely at the wonder of God's grace in his beloved son. Seen a few things I hadn't seen before. The first thing we need to ask is, what's going on? What's going on? What's she talking about? What is she saying? Why is she crying for help? She is crying for help. Back in our text, verse 22, and the woman, a Canaan, Gentile, came out of the same coast and said unto him, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She'd heard about him. My daughter. She's crying for herself, asking, help me. But on behalf of, and primarily, she's asking the Lord to cast out the devil from her daughter. So she's asking, have mercy on me. My daughter is vexed, and that's the primary reason why she's there. But she came to the right person only. She didn't go to anybody else. She went to the Lord. She had great thoughts, says Spurgeon, and expectations of the Redeemer. And if anybody's going to come to Christ, you've got to have great expectation that he can do what he said. He can cast away our sin. Only he can heal. Only he can cleanse our sin. Only he is the substitute between God and man. There's no other. I tell you, if you come to the law, you'll be slain. Like Christian, the burden just got heavier. When you went to the Mount Sinai and the thunderings, the load got heavier. It didn't get released. If you come to religion, You'll only be indoctrinated by it. If you come to this teaching or to that teaching, you'll only be taught what men know. If you come with your works, you'll be sent away in that day of judgment. If you come with anything in your hands, anything to offer God, any goodness in yourself, you will die yet in your sins. But if you come, like this lady did, to Christ, trusting only in Him, His finished work, then you shall be made whole. The second thing, let's look at what she says. Verse 27. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she, after she said, she got not rejected, but kind of stood up by the Lord or put his, you know, a detour or stopped her. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs, yet I. Truth, Lord, I'm a dog. This she knew, this she saw, and this she felt, that she was a dog in the sight of a thrice holy God. Now, turn to Isaiah 53. I'd never seen this before. Isaiah 53. In this one verse is the gospel. It's got sorrow, sadness, it's acknowledgement. It's just like this woman. She knows she's a dog. Enabled by the Holy Spirit of God's grace, we know. Because a person won't see what they are until God shines His light in the dark place. But this verse has got everything. All, verse 6, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, she included herself, like sheep, have gone astray. Now, Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all transgressors, trespassed against His law, against His nature, against His character. We know that. We know that the person sitting next to us, husband, spouse, daughter, daughter, son, it doesn't matter. We're all sinners. Generically, we know we're all sinners. And this is good to acknowledge that, because most people won't even acknowledge that. I'm just as good as so-and-so. We know that we're all sinners. But look at this specifically. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, I've always looked at that as talking about free will and our own way, and it's not God's way, and that's true, very true. But I didn't see it quite like Spurgeon saw it, and I just thought this, I just did more research, did more study. We've gone astray generally. Well, everyone turned specifically. My very, very personal transgressions that are unique to me, I own them. He shows you that, you know, the whole world lies in wickedness. And then you're like, that's incredible. And then you start to draw your vision in a little closer and a little closer. My mom and dad, I see why mom and dad did that. They were sinners. And then you start to get in a closer, tighter zone, which is not our comfort zone. And we say, I did. I'm guilty. Very particular sinfulness that has dialed in on me, dialed in on you. And this is scriptural, because every one of us has unique sins that maybe our neighbor, that maybe our husband or spouse, they don't struggle with. Maybe Nathan doesn't have a problem with covetousness. Maybe that may tear me apart. There's very specific sins that have our name on them. Oh yeah, well we're generally. We have all, like sheep, have gone astray. But specific, we have turned everyone to his own way. Okay? You see that? And it's scriptural because I got to thinking, and I didn't have to think very long. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy 1:5? This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came and has saved sinners, of whom I am. I am. Me, particularly, am chief. So it's, you know, it's you kind of get this nebulous prayer, Lord, forgive me. And that's why I don't like, you know, forgive us our sins, or we, you know, all this, just, you know, where we've come short, you know, get specific, not necessarily verbal, not out loud, but we know, we specifically know the areas that we struggle with. It may be money, it may be lust, it doesn't make any difference. It's all sins against God. But there's areas very specific, and that's what this woman. I don't give food to the dogs. That's the truth. I'm a dog. Not dog, 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 dog. No. But isn't that what Isaiah did? Isn't that what Isaiah did in Isaiah 6? The first five chapters. Woe was you. Woe was you. Woe was you. And then he saw the glory of the Lord. And what did he say? I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell with people that are just as corrupt as I am. But I can't deal. I can only tell them that. We've sinned against particular light, says Spurgeon, and have an aggravation often unseen by others. Often unseen by others. Now, a lot of our sins are seen by others, but there's some personal aggravations against God's character and his nature that we only know. And again, I got to think of an example. The end of Zechariah 12, and then Zechariah 13, 1. It says, in that day, every house separate. Mother, father, this house will mourn, that house will mourn. And in that day, once they see that, once it gets very specific, once it gets very particular, then you don't have a problem with, to be honest with you, you don't have a problem with God, why he could choose. You don't have a problem with election. And you don't have a problem with particular redemption because you know particular sins that you aggravate against light. And you understand depravity. And you understand if he ever lets you go, you're not going to be kept. That's why the doctrine of grace, they call them doctrines, but the doctrine of grace, the believer really don't have, once they hear it, if they know themselves, like this woman, yea, Lord, truth, truth. But what are the end results? And this is what I looked over. I just never saw it. And she said, verse 27, truth, your Lord, yet the dogs. And that's where I'd stop. 27b. 27a would be the first part of the text. 27b would be the last part of the text. Yea, of a truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their masters. She's in their master's table. Now she understood that she was a great sinner, but she understood that her master was having a banquet of sufficient grace, that even if a little crumb, she knew her master was gracious and she knew her master was kind, and even if a little crumb fell on the floor, that crumb would be more than sufficient. Doesn't Paul said his grace is sufficient? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And even if it's a crumb, what this world calls insignificant, the littlest crumb from the hand of the master will clear the most monumentous sin. And I'd never seen that. And all she wants is just give me a crumb. Just give me a crumb. Crumbs of grace. is grace sufficient to pardon massive iniquities? That lady with the issue of blood in Luke 8 and verse 43 and 44, it's found in the other Gospels, but she says, if I can just touch the hem, which is, that's the fringe. Isn't that the same concept? I don't have to embrace Christ, so to speak. I don't have to tackle him and get a part of his hold of his leg or his limb. If I can just touch, the word is fringe. It's him. It's fringe. It's just a small portion of the material. If I can just, his grace is sufficient. That's never been the issue. The issue is our great sin. But his grace has always been sufficient. The hem fringe of his garment did quite nicely, did it not? This hem of the garment, it's a fringe, or it's called a fringe, or literally a tassel. Little grace is sufficient grace. God's smallness is to us an overabundance of grace and mercy. Is it not? Is it not grace? Just a crumb. Just, what does God say? Do not despise the day of small things. His grace, however it comes, is grace sufficient. Back to our text in Isaiah, this verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. But then look at, that's, we like sheep have gone astray. That's Isaiah 56b, we have turned everyone his own way. And 56c, the latter part, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Spurgeon said, it's like the song, it's just like a song, right in the end of this verse. Depression, rejoicing. The gospel in one verse. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now back to our text. Isn't that what's going on here? And Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee. And her daughter was made whole that same hour. That's what she came for. Which was helping herself, as the anxiety of a mother would be. She asked for help for herself, but it was really the petition. What? The whole thing is talking about salvation in picture and type. She's petitioning to ask for great God's grace for her daughter. And he likens it to crumbs. And so she uses that metaphor and say, yes, your crumbs of grace, which is coming from the master's table, that's all I need. That's all I need. To be forever thankful. This passage in Isaiah 53:6c is also answers quite well to the smitten conscience, does it not? He laid on him the iniquity of us all. They're both the same similar text. It's almost a song in a verse of despair. The gospel in one verse, it could be said. This lady was asking Christ to help for her daughter, very specifically. She knew that crumbs falling from the good and kind master's table would more than be enough to exorcise the evil spirits, to set her in her right mind, and to go about her way, rejoicing and singing God's glory and God's praise. Yes, but just give me a crumb. Just give me a crumb which falls from your overabundance. Oh, for a few crumbs here today. That's all we need. Next week looks tough. Next week at work it looks rough. Next week, if we don't work, it looks tough. There's going to be struggles whether you work or don't work. You're in this world. Next week, oh, just give me a few crumbs. It may be a crumb of thankfulness. It may be a crumb to say, well, I still have a job. And I like it. It may be just maybe different struggles financially. It doesn't make it. It may be struggles. Just give me a crumb of grace. Yea, Lord, truth. I'm still a dog. I'm still a dog. But I'm your dog. What was Caleb's name? In Hebrew, his name means faithful dog. You know, could you imagine going to a cemetery? And Kate, could you imagine just going to a cemetery and you're looking for somebody and all of a sudden you see, here lies so-and-so, a dog. What? They must have made a mistake. No, that man probably knew something about the grace of God. Here lies the dog, so and so forth. Oh, for a few crumbs of grace here today. For we find in Christ all the soul could ever ask for and all the soul truly needs. So I tell you, and I tell myself, come. I say come for some crumbs of grace from Christ's table today. It's just, Matt just read? I didn't know. I never know. I never tell him where to read. Better is a little. A little. Fear not, little flock. I mean, you could go on and on. These things just come popping in my head. They're not in my notes. But you could just, David and Goliath. Samuel's going, it's got to be this one, it's got to be this one. When he was calling David, when the Lord said, go see, Samuel's like, it's got to be this one. He's big. He's like, no. He said, then God said, Samuel, God doesn't look on like what man looks on. Not this guy. This little ruddy-headed shepherd boy. Yeah. He's going to be my little crumb. And through him, that lineage, Christ. So may we ask for crumbs of grace as long as they come from our Master's table. Matt, would you close this, please?